Senator Bundy, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Johnson, Senator Stedman, Co-Chair Wilken, and myself, Senator Green. We have just a few amendments that we'll be considering for this evening, and I do want to explain to you that this is a different CS. In reviewing the previous documents, we found some omissions, some corrections that needed to be made, some things that were not exactly correct. And we worked on getting those done, and so we have version L before us. Senator Wilken, if you would.
Madam Chair, move that the committee adopt committee substitute for Senate Bill 231 Finance version L is in Lima, dated 5-1, as our working document.
Okay, and I will object for our explanation and conversation about the upcoming amendments. And and if you would, on the amendment you have before you, change page 96 to 97. And then I will move amendment number one. This is to the supplemental, and it brings OPA to the full funding request. Is there any discussion? Senator Dyson, I'm sorry, you were going to do that amendment. I apologize.
No, that's fine. That was a budget subcommittee I had, and I appreciate it being your response on it. This is a constitutional mandate, and that department really has no control over how many customers they have, and I appreciate the support, Madam Chair.
Okay. Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be supporting the amendment if you'll be supporting it, but I will just put on the record that in the past, the history has been that we fund them to the top and then we come back with supplementals. So I would suspect that by doing this, we won't see a supplemental when we come back in January. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Dyson.
Yeah, and I appreciate that sentiment. It is my understanding of this commissioner that he's really trying to bring some integrity to the process and limit the amounts in the supplemental. And the guy that's directing this department, Mr. Fink, who's here, has done some pretty neat things to cut down and make on expense and make the department more efficient.
Thank you very much.
I want to recognize that.
And I've been impressed to hear how they're operating as well. So, and that was one of the reasons I said I would not object to this and would approve this amendment. Is there any objection to amendment number one? Amendment number one is adopted. Amendment number two, I was requested. I will move commerce number one and object for explanation. I can't remember. Well, there's going to be a small business conference in Anchorage in June. The HUD secretary and other high-ranking federal officials will be attending. Conference costs will be paid for by registrations and donations as statutory designated receipts. So I withdraw my objection. Is there further discussion? Commerce number one is adopted. Senator Stedman, commerce number three.
Yes, Madam Chairman, I move commerce number three.
Object.
Yes, Madam Chairman, commerce number three is a request for $20 million at GF, and that would go to the Four Dam Pool Power Agency for completion of, or partial completion of, the Swan Lake Tyee Intertie, which links the Tyee Dam on the northern end that's running or spilling roughly 60% of its water or so to Swan Lake in the south to feed an energy source in Ketchikan to drive the economy in Ketchikan forward and help offset the high oil prices that the community faces as we struggle and go forward to help regions of Alaska with their power demands. This project is a 57-mile project. It's one of the first legs of the southern portion of the intertie, which will eventually be an intertie throughout southeast Alaska, enabling the construction of multiple dams on Baranof and in Thomas Bay, and enable southeast Alaska to be energy dependent in the small communities to the larger ones, and allow us to open up the mining industry in southeast.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'd like to ask Senator Stedman if this, any part of this is the intertie that ties our grid to the BC electric system, a power line that runs down the Bradfield Canal.
I think to answer the question, Madam Chairman, the next phase will include three hydro projects in Thomas Bay, which is right north of Petersburg, link in with Swan Lake, and then go on up to the Bradfield Fjord to hook into the grid in Canada, and then allow power exports into the North American grid. It would give a load and do the intertie, which would also allow the construction of a smaller submarine cable from Metlakatla to Ketchikan, allow the construction of Mahoney Lake, and eventual construction of slipped my mind, the large dam on the east side of Baranof. But the short answer is yes. This is part of the overall strategy to move this forward.
Senator Bundy.
Thank you. You said this was partial funding. What would be the next step, and what would that cost?
There's been about 50 million rounded off spent so far. There's about 50 million to go. The state doesn't have any monies into the Swan Lake Tyee intertie, except for the monies that were within the four dam pool when it was divested. But there's been no state appropriations into this, and it would allow the four dam pool group to go back to Washington and show the delegation in Washington, D.C. that Alaska is putting up monies to help construct the infrastructure of Alaska and make it more palatable for the delegation in Washington, D.C. to match the funds.
Senator Bundy.
And this will affect basically the three communities of Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg?
Initially. Initially, that's correct. The next phase would be to run up the Bradfield, as mentioned, and then up to Cake, and then on up Chatham Straits to eventual connect out to Juneau. So there'll be eventually a loop in southeast Alaska to energize the. It's probably, you know, a 20-year plan. So it's. It's one step at a time.
At this point, if I might, Madam Chair, been years, many years since I've lived in Ketchikan, but what's the population there?
Population of Ketchikan is, well, depending on 13,000 in the borough, 7,000 in the city, roughly. District A is about 30,000.
And Wrangell and Petersburg are probably in the 5,000 to 10,000 range.
Petersburg is probably around a little over 4,000. Wrangell's a little under 2,000.
$20 million for 36,000 people. Buy a lot of generators. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
And Senator Seven, you and I talked about this previously, and we talked about there's still some information and some goals that we have for the Four Dam Pool Agency to work on plans, sort of a business plan, and get a little better performance organization, get the rates to a place. I think this is premature, and this only spells the first step, and I maintain my objection.
Thank you.
Do you have anything?
In wrap-up, Madam Chairman, I recognize that the four dam pools had some problems in the past with their ability or their infighting and due to the geographical differences, and because it includes on the northern end Kodiak and Copper Valley. So it's a rather cumbersome unit to operate.
The objection is maintained. Would you take call roll, please?
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Pass.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Wilkin?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
3A, 4A.
Thank you. And so Commerce number 3 fails. Commerce number 4, Senator Hoffman.
I won't be offering that.
Well, Commerce number 4 is withdrawn. Commerce number 5, I move Commerce number 5 and have no objection.
Could I object for explanation?
Yes. Central Peninsula Hospital has been in the design phase for the construction of a new facility. This will provide the matching funds required of primary funding sources. And there's a new facility, and I think this has something to do, as I understand it, to do with the move. And there is a dollar match requirement of our primary funding, of the primary funding sources, and they've requested substantially more than that, and I agree to $250,000 if it meets with the committee's approval. Any further questions? Commerce number 5 is adopted. Commerce number 6 is withdrawn. Commerce number 7 is withdrawn. Senator Stedman.
The numbers are similar, Madam Chair, but we deleted it to 0, hoping for better results on this one. We have 2. This is for $2 million. Currently in the budget, there's $1 million. It would be $1 million increase to the Tongass Coast Aquarium in Ketchikan. Initially, the governor had had put in a request for $5 million GF for the development of this project. The committee has reduced that from $5 million to $1 million. This would move it up to $2 million, which is a little less than half of what the governor requested. But this aquarium is integrated with education and research, or will be when it's built, and will facilitate the growth of the shellfish industry in Southeast Alaska, and also help with the education at the university. And there's going to be classrooms and stuff. These monies are for use in the design of the aquarium, and will allow them, once they have their design drawings done and ready to pour concrete, will allow them to go out and secure grants from large nonprofit, or excuse me, large granting agencies, and allow the construction of this. And again, I'd just like to note that it is less than one half of what the governor initially asked for in the budget, Madam Chair.
We certainly heard a lot of testimony in favor of it.
Yes.
During our call-in.
Yes, there was active call-ins on the support of this aquarium. That is one of in the smaller communities, and I'm sure the larger communities are similar, that it's hard to find projects where most of the town is behind it, not all of it, and this is one of the projects where the whole community comes together to support it.
Senator Bundy, did you want to comment?
Well, this looks like this would be the first step of a $5 million project. If they finish the aquarium at $5 million, it's $160,000 per resident. Pretty expensive fish watching. So I remember the tidal pools of Ketchikan. I think perhaps people ought to just go to the tidal pools.
Is there
objection? I object.
Is there objection to Commerce number 9?
I object.
So Senator Bundy objects. Okay, is there further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
Yes.
Senator Green?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
Yes.
5-8, 6-2-8.
Just a brief news. Commerce 13, Senator Olson?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. With great honor, I go ahead and move to adopt Amendment Number 13.
Object.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Amendment Number 13 has to do with the St. Mary's Training Center, which is fuel, can get a perspective of what St. Mary's is like. It's one of the most, it is the most progressive community that we have on the Yukon River. It's a first-class city, collects property tax, collects sales tax, and some of these taxes go to afford the education or the school district that they have there. One of the things they've gone out and done is went ahead and got some money and purchased the old Catholic mission that was there, which is attributed to having these people so progressively minded. With this training center, they plan on enhancing the job skills of some of the regional people that are in the area to go ahead and make them into productive employees for construction and other seasonal jobs that are there. It's made to go ahead and encourage some of the rural enterprises as well as some of the arts and crafts that are there. And so with that, I urge passing of Amendment Number 13, Commerce Number 13.
Is this also a school?
I'm sorry?
Is it also a school now?
It originally was the old Catholic mission school.
Been there.
And obviously, it's been effective in a number of generations of people that have gone through, and it's been one of the guiding lights as to why those people have elected to go to a first-class city and take responsibility financially for taking care of their school, and that's probably the best example that we have. And with the purchase of this training center, what they'd like to go ahead and do is have a regional technical center there as well. And so with that, they have come up with a plan for this, which I have here in front of me, for their, what they call a smart center. And with that, I think it just shows the initiative of the population that's there.
Senator Bundy?
I'm a little confused. Are they going to use this money to buy the building, or they have purchased the building and are now using this money to create the school?
They have already purchased the school from the diocese mission there in Fairbanks, and what they're doing now is to renovate it and get it up to code so that they can start holding classes for this training center that they need. And that's why it's called the renovation. They already own the buildings, they already own the property, and so now they just need some money to go ahead and start the training center to start ahead.
Senator Bundy?
And might I ask, what was the cost of purchasing the building?
The building purchase was for, the total project was $3.8 million.
Okay, thank you. And, Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Bundy?
Because St. Mary's is one of those outstanding communities that does support its own schools, I'm inclined to support this request because they are doing things on their own and not depending 100% on the state.
And Madam Chair, if I could continue on with that, it's one, like I said, it's the most progressive community on the Yukon that I have seen with the first-class city being established, their own school district, and they're pushed to go ahead and put this in place, so I commend these people.
Madam Chair?
Senator Dyson?
I appreciate what you've said. I'm not sure that you accurately answered Senator Bundy's question. He asked what they'd paid for it, and you said the total project was 3.8. So Do you know how much they paid for the property?
Right, $2.7 million.
Okay. And how much of this $1.9 is for the renovation?
I think a major portion of it is for the renovation of this facility.
And how many, do you know, how many people in St. Mary's?
There are 840.
And what's...
Senator Dyson, are you continuing? Because I was going to call on Senator Bundy.
No.
Okay.
Just one further note, Senator Dyson, the training facility is not just for the people of St. Mary's, it's to affect people in the greater Yukon and Kuskokwim Delta.
And if I may...
Sure.
And none of this is not first year operating or anything, this is all capital money?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and like I said, I'm inclined to support it. Senator Olson said that he has some more information, and I'm wondering if he could distribute that, and then we could set this aside while we get a chance to review that information and take it up a little further in the agenda.
That might be appropriate. I'm concerned that we're going to have another, what is going to be a live-in center, it looks like to me, is there dormitories. And I've seen what has happened in the past as they grow like Topsy in the following years. And I think the dreams are admirable, but I'm very, very, very worried about the expanded cost over the years. So we'll set that aside, and we'll take that off. And then if you want to bring more information, Senator Olson.
If I could just comment on on what you just said. Certainly there are concerns about there for ongoing costs, but I think this community has shown that they've been able to take the bull by the horns and gone on with some of the, and like I said, there's some of the more enlightened people that I've seen within the rural population. But we'll go ahead and pass this plan out that they've given to me and go from there.
Thank you. Senator Bundy.
Madam Chair, I'd move Commerce number 14.
I'll object for explanation.
Madam Chair, this is the project of a building purchase and remodel in Anchorage where the tissue and organ donor services of Alaska could then locate. There's currently some challenges. If a person passes away in the hospital and they are organ donors, the tissues and organs can be harvested there. However, if they pass away outside of the hospital doesn't allow them to be admitted as a deceased being and the harvest to take place. And the harvesting cannot take place in the mortuary. There was an initial request for $750,000 to the governor. The governor, I believe, decided that this was a worthy cause, but felt, as we often feel, there should be match. And so the governor funded at half the requested $750,000, and this would be an opportunity for the legislature to match the governor's match and provide this very essential opportunity for Alaskans who can benefit from tissue and organ donation.
As a reminder to the committee members, this $375,000 takes this appropriation up to $750,000. And I need to know, does anyone else have any comments or questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I certainly want to speak in favor of the amendment, having dealt with people that were donors, especially out in rural Alaska, where harvesting was not going to happen at all. This at least makes it a lot more possible that there is going to be use of organ donors and those organs that could be used farther down the line. So with that, I certainly want to support this amendment.
Okay.
And if I might wrap up, just to point out that the total cost is $1.8 million, half coming from the additional monies over the $750,000 coming from foundation grants and private fundraising.
Okay. Coming from whom?
Foundation grants and private fundraising, private sources.
Okay.
So we're getting a pretty good return.
Okay, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection? Amendment adopted, Commerce 14.
Madam Chair, I move Commerce 15.
I'll object for explanation.
And Madam Chair, we have, and this is news to me as of today, so bear with me on my explanation, but I've done this, but didn't realize that the money was going into a black hole. We have a situation in Alaska where if you, when you renew your driver's license, and if you choose to donate $1 during the renewal for anatomical gift awareness fund, in other words, the organ and tissue donation, you can do that. And so there's $35,000 in the fund, but there's no way to get that money from the donated fund, no mechanism there, to Life Alaska Donor Services, so they can increase the awareness of the need for donations and the ability for people to donate. And this would create a grant of $30,000 so they could promote that awareness. It's money that's already been donated by Alaskans.
So you have your fund source there from the checkoff on the driver's license.
Right.
Yeah. Is there objection to Commerce 15? Commerce 15 is adopted. Commerce 16?
It's getting to be a habit. Madam, I move Commerce number 16.
I'll object for explanation.
Madam Chair, this is dovetails with the Life Alaska Commerce 14. And we're trying to co-locate the organ donation Life Alaska in a building with the American Red Cross. This would allow the American Red Cross to retire some debt so that they indeed then could move their buildings or move to a co-located location. As we know, the Red Cross has been an integral part of service to Alaskans across the state. And again, this was a matching request. The governor, there was a $150,000 request. The governor granted $75,000, anticipating the legislative match to bring it to $150,000. This would allow them to retire that debt and use their financial resources focused on the Red Cross's mission, which, of course, is aiding Alaskans in disaster.
Is there objection to continued objection to Commerce 16? I'll withdraw my objection. Commerce 16 is adopted. The Commerce number 17 has to do with the Juno Birth, Family Birth Center. This is anticipated to be included in the House, budget, so it's withdrawn. Commerce 18. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Commerce number 18.
Object for explanation.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Commerce number 18, which has to do with the Arctic Winter Games, which were a total success down in Kenai this year. Approximately 370 athletes were down there to go ahead and partake in this multi-national event. And in 2008, they're going to have the games over in Yellowknife Northwest Territories, of which they're anticipating another 370 athletes going. This money, $250,000, is going to go to transportation costs, equipment needs, and office operations that are going to be happening with Team Alaska, and so for the next Winter Games. So with that, I encourage passage of this amendment. It should be also noted that the private sector this last time around raised over $200,000, and they're planning on doing the same thing for the next, between now and 2000, in early 2008, when the next Winter Games are going to be held in Yellowknife.
Is there discussion about the Arctic Winter Games? Senator Bundy.
Yeah, Madam Chair. As we talk about wants and needs, I'm very supportive of young people being active in outdoor sports, but I think the $250,000 could be better spent in school programs or many other places, and so object to the amendment.
Okay, Senator Bunny is objecting to the amendment. Is there further discussion? Call roll, please.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
4 yeas, 3 nays.
And so Senate Commerce 18 is adopted. Senator Stedman.
Yes, I move, Madam Chairman, Commerce number 19.
Object.
Commerce number 19 is a $150,000 grant to the Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development, and what this is for the survey of the gooey duck beds and help develop the gooey duck fishery and getting this fishery off the ground and started. We've got to go in and identify the original gooey ducks within the bed and then plant some new ones. There's also some money in here. $35,000 that would be used for the paralytic shellfish poisoning. PSP monitoring system, but actually that would be paid to the DEC lab for fees. What this would do, the Fish and Game is rather strapped to develop new fisheries, and this would help accelerate that. The gooey duck fishermen have paid a self-tax assessment of 5% in 1999, and they raised it to 7% in 2004, and this would help accelerate that young developing fishery. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And is, I'm sure whoever prepared the amendment has it right. The Department of Commerce is the correct funding agency?
We could have a quick Eddie's.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, that is correct. It would go through the Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development, and then go to the SARF, or the Southeast Alaska Dive Fisheries Association, that would do that analysis and survey. One of the things that we struggle with is money and fish and game, not only for continuing operations, but to develop new fisheries. And we have the ability in coastal Alaska to develop new fisheries. We seem to have in the last decade or so some capital hindrances that would allow the Department of Fish and Game to accelerate the industry.
Okay, I'm going to maintain my objection. Is there further comment, further questions? Senator Dyson.
Yeah, I just remember when in 99 when this group of fishermen came to us and said, tax us so the department can have the funds to administer this, and I really appreciated that kind of a initiative on the part of the fishermen to try to make this thing self-sustaining. It's just kind of a sense of responsibility I respect.
Mm-hmm. And yet they're back in 2006 and they're something hasn't worked. Is there further comment? Call roll, please.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
3 yeas, 4 nays.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Commerce Number 20.
Would you explain what this is, please?
I object for explanation.
I'll object for explanation as well. Would you go ahead and explain to us? Is this not what we heard that on when we were listening to the call-ins the other night?
Yes,
the doctor
was.
Who called?
Yes, it was, Madam Chairman. And it's what this $1 million does is supplements the other $4 million that had already been raised to go ahead and facilitate rural communities with hospitals that have the inability to not have a radiologist on staff. These x-rays that are taken are electronically transmitted to a radiologist off-site for them to go ahead and read. As a physician that has worked extensively out in rural Alaska and looking at some of the neck x-rays that are very complicated, there are things there that I couldn't see, and you just cringed every time you think that that person on a snow machine or a four-wheeler was going to walk out of here and may have a fracture that was what you thought might be a shadow. And so it gave you a lot of consternation when this was going on. This would alleviate a lot of that stress, as you'd have a radiologist that's used to seeing a lot of films and can order more if need be. But I certainly am in favor of and wholeheartedly support this $1 million for the supplement the other $4 million that already has been raised by the Rasmussen Foundation, Denali Commission, the Murdoch Trust, USDA Rural Development Office.
We don't anticipate an ongoing request from the state, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. I was impressed when I saw the list of areas served by this service, and it was felt that the evidence or the witnesses' statements the other night were pretty compelling. I will withdraw my objection, and you have your own. Senator Bundy.
Yeah, I'd just like a further question. $1 million to hire a single radiologist? I don't quite understand how the program works.
Madam Chair, first of all, you're not hiring a single radiologist. What you're doing is setting up the infrastructure so that people in some of the rural hospitals, or down on the Kenai, down in Ketchikan, up in Kotzebue or Barrow, and can go ahead and send these films out for a radiologist to take a look at, who's obviously not in the local area.
But it's via what mechanism? It's not like you put them in the mail and send them.
That's the old way. That's the way I was used to doing it. You send them out in the mail, and they come back a couple weeks later, and about that time you can tell the lawyer he doesn't have to be quite so worried anymore. And so this is before you actually get the film, stick it into an electronic reader. It sends it out electronically. I think it's by satellite that actually goes down to the radiologist.
During testimony the other evening, they said some of the services outside that read these x-rays are to the point where they're going to quit receiving them because the quality of the transmission is so poor. They don't like to do it with that kind of film or...
Right. What was going on, they would try to fax a film out there, and you can understand what faxing a film would do to some of the subtle shadows that you're going to be seeing, because you're actually reading a black and white with a lot of shadows of muscles and bones that are overlying blood vessels, and if you're trying to look for especially a cervical fracture, then you're kind of at the mercy.
Senator Bundy.
Well, Madam Chair, I think I understand better now. I'm certainly supportive of telemedicine and as averse to the expense of shipping people to town. So this buys equipment that would take the x-ray and transmit the x-ray and receive the x-rays so the radiologist located in a central location could read them. Is that accurate?
Yes, I think that's accurate. And they get the report back or their reading diagnosis back fairly quickly.
Within minutes, especially if we put a stat order on it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Do you maintain your objection?
No.
Commerce number 20 is adopted. Senator Wilkin.
Madam Chair, move Commerce number 21.
Madam Chair, I respectfully object.
You respectfully object? There's a respectful objection for explanations.
One thing we can agree on, this is the coolest amendment of the night. the source of the funding, this adds $900,000 to ICE Alaska's effort to build a new administrative building. The source of the funds, the Maury Thompson Center was trimmed $900,000, and I can support that as long as we could move that $900,000 over to Ice Alaska. Each of you have a book I passed out, and thumb through that book tells you a couple things. It tells you that there's a very active group in Fairbanks that raise their own money, and through their efforts, these dedicated volunteers, they have put in place one of the world's premier ice art championships. People come from around the world to participate in March in Fairbanks. But their success has come at a price, and that price is the clapboard facility that they've cobbled together over the last 10 or 12 years is falling around their ears, and the fire marshal has thrown them out and said, you need to have another facility that's up to code with sprinkling and exits. And that's the purpose that they banded together. I think the other night at our public testimony, we were overwhelmed by ice art people. I was accused of planting those people. I did not. Strange as it is, I wish I would have. But they showed up on their own volition to ask for us to help. This would take it, the $2 million would be the amount they asked of the governor originally for their facility, and that would enable them with the monies they put together to build their facility this summer, be ready for the Ice Art Championships next March. So I respectfully ask for a yes vote.
Senator Bundy.
Madam Chair, as cold as Fairbanks is, I wish them all the ice in the world. But when I hear from all those people who have said there's too much state spending and don't spend all this current increase in cash flow, and as we try to wade through our wants and needs, helping folks with their art project, it just doesn't make the cut for me in spite of all their good wishes. And I certainly wouldn't want to rob them of their ownership, and I would suggest they continue to find their own facility. And I must
you maintain your objection?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you, any other comment, Senator Wilkin?
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Call the roll, please.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Wilkin?
Yes.
Senator Green?
Yes.
4 yeas, 3 nays.
Commerce 25 is withdrawn.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Could I speak to Commerce 25?
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I didn't know it was in such rapid retreat. Commerce 25.
You want to move the amendment, please?
Yes, I'd like to move Commerce 25.
Object.
Okay. Is a request for $1 million for to help with the funding of the renovation and redevelopment of White Cliff School, which is a old, unused school now in Ketchikan. This would help prepare the site with some abatement issues and the use of the facility will be multi-use. It'll house a senior center and some dance and theater studios, along with some art galleries to try to have a more robust and active senior center, so the senior center is not somewhere where the seniors go and there's no activity. This would be a bustling building. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I maintain my objection. Senator Bundy.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I should declare a conflict. My wife went to White Cliff School in elementary grades. However, again, in the wants and needs, providing $1 million for various art programs is doesn't make the cut on my priority list and would object.
Is there further discussion? Call the roll, please. I maintain my objection as well.
Senator Olson?
Pass.
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Wilkin?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Green?
No.
3 yeas, 4 nays.
Commerce 25 has failed. Senator Dyson.
Yeah, move amendment, Commerce 26.
I'll object.
Yeah, so this road has become a meeting place in the community. It's very steep and runs right out onto the Old Glen Highway, right in the heart of town, and it's causing accidents in the winter. People slide down there, can't stop, go through the stop sign, and meet their neighbors in the busiest street in town. So the chamber has asked for us to get a traffic study and to try to figure out what the long-term solution for this is. That's what this $35,000 is for.
You know, and generally, a $35,000 project wouldn't be, you know, a heartbreaker, but in looking over the amount of funds that the Anchorage road system is getting in the tens of millions, I can't imagine that they can't find $35,000 in all those millions of dollars to do a road study or a traffic and impact analysis on the Glen Highway and Monty Road. Senator Dyson.
There's certainly the perception in the Chugach Eagle River area that we are the poor country cousins that don't do well in the AMATS and Anchorage Municipal Road Planning process, and this has been identified in the community for a long time. So maybe after the Great Divorce, we'll get better treatment.
After the what?
Great Divorce, when the breakaway Republic of Chugach Eagle River becomes its own city borough.
Right, right. Any further comment? I maintain my objection. Roll, please.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Bundy?
Yes.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Green?
No.
Senator Wilkin?
No.
Four yeas, three nays.
So Commerce 26 has passed. Commerce 27. Senator Dyson.
Is that mine?
Do you want to pass?
Yeah, I'll pass.
Okay. I'll Commerce take- withdrawn. Commerce 28, Senator Dyson.
Yeah, this is the...
Do you want to move the amendment?
Yeah, move 28, Commerce.
I'll object.
Okay, this is the Native Heritage Center, which is right on the edge of my district, and this is an improvement they're planning on. It's explained in the attached document that their place is developed into a major place for both preserving of Alaska's native cultures and a major tourist attraction. The schools bring the kids out there to get some sense of what the Alaska's heritage was like and what is being preserved and the values of it. Told the folks that are developing it, they're doing a great job there, that I would forward this for the next phase.
It appears to me they have lots of donors. Is there any other questions, any comments about Alaska Native Heritage Center expansion? I'll maintain my objection. Call roll, please.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Wilkin?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
Four yeas, three
nays. Okay, then Commerce 28 is adopted. We will withdraw Commerce 29. Senator Olson.
On Commerce number 30?
Education number one.
Education number one. I move education
30.
Number one.
I don't have Commerce 30.
We had a 29 and you withdrew that.
29 and 30.
There's a Commerce 30.
My stuff. Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Back to, okay, that's my amendment. Sorry for the confusion. Commerce number 30, I move commerce number 30 and object. And this is the phase two development plan of the Kenai Coal Gasification Project. Senator Wagner, you want to come explain this project, please? This is an amendment introduced on behalf of Senator Wagner.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As of the current time, Agrium, who is a chemical manufacturing corporation that mainly manufactures anhydrous ammonia and urea on the peninsula, has undertaken a study to determine the feasibility of using coal as a feedstock and do coal gasification to maintain the feedstock for their plant. They have spent already, along with Usabelli Coal, up to about $4.75 million on the first phase of this study. If you remember when Senator Stevens came before us and addressed the joint bodies, this is one of the programs he said we should think about matching federal energy funds. There's $5 million in federal energy funds in Washington, D.C., and this is meant to be a match not only for those funds, but for additional funds that Agrium plans to spend on phase two and additional funds that Usabelli Coal plans to spend on phase two. And Agrium said if this project is what this project will do is get the information ready and the engineering studies and everything to go to Wall Street for financing. They're not going to ask the state for additional funds. As a matter of fact, if the project is successful, they plan to pay this loan back. This is a grant that once they determine that it's a go on the project will turn into a loan to be paid back. The timeline on this is getting fairly short. I don't know exactly how long they have to get the funds from the Department of Energy, but they have cut back from 300 jobs to 150 jobs currently. If this project's successful, they will go back up to 300 jobs in the power plant and the gasification unit and the fertilizer unit. There will be another 300 to 600 jobs across the inlet in Beluga Coal. It's probably the best chance we've ever had of developing the Beluga coal fields for a good in-state use. In addition, because of the process, there will be 305 megawatts of power generated through the generation unit, of which 100 to 105 megawatts will be needed to run the process itself, therefore leaving 200 to 205 megawatts surplus, which can be used either to grid into the current rail belt system and be distributed throughout the rail belt, or if the Pebble Mine goes, it could be a source of power generation to run the Pebble Mine. And that's about it.
Questions? Senator Bundy?
I'm heartened to hear that if it's a success, they pay it back with interest. But what determination determines success? How do we... Do they get to decide they've been successful, or is the state?
No, I think the papers would be drawn up as a contract, and that would probably be well defined before they're given the money. And I would say it would be that the determination is made, and they go to Wall Street, get the financing, and build the project. We're looking at about a $1.5 to $1.8 billion project, a new portion of the project, and the current value is probably around $1.2 billion. In existence now in their current plant. So this is a pretty major project.
Madam Chair,
go ahead.
Well, for $5 million, I'd like to be more assured that maybe they're going to put this into contract. Could somehow we state for the record that this repayment and the descriptions of what constitutes success will be in the contract before any funds are dispersed?
I don't think they'd have a better problem with that, Senator Bundy.
Yeah, well, for the record, that would, I think, be necessary. Thank you.
Excuse me, Madam Chairman. that's what we were trying. We've been working on this amendment for about 5 days, and that's the problem we had, is how to write that into the amendment. And the drafters finally told us today there's just no way really to write in the amendment or put in language. So we expect that would be taken care of before they're granted the funds with the department.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Stedman.
Do we have a brief at ease?
Yes, we may. Okay, we will come back to order. Senator Wagner, the thing that concerns me about this is that this project is going to a private entity versus I know there are lots of ways to do these things, but I'm concerned about that, and would prefer there be another mechanism of some sort.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I've had several people say that to me, and I concur on one sense. On another sense, I'd like to remind the body that this last several months we've been talking about petroleum taxes and credits. We're giving credits to oil companies in the amount of $14 million a year for 10 years and other credits. It's nothing new. And this isn't a credit they're asking for. They're basically asking for a grant that turns into a loan. I think this project, and just in case you're wondering, this isn't an experimental project. This project is going to use the technology that Shell Oil has developed, and it's state of the art, and it's currently being done throughout the world. China's got several plants being constructed now. There are a couple in the United States. There's a couple in Europe. So it's not an experimental system anymore. It does work, and it's what it will do is anchor Agrium into the integral part of the Kenai Peninsula's economy for years to come, because once established, they'll have a continuous supply of feedstock for their plant at a level price instead of worrying about the price of gas that goes up and down. They'll know exactly what they have to have on the marketplace versus the coal that they're using to gasify for their feedstock. So,
are there further comments? I maintain my objection to this amendment. Roll, please, Robin.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
5 yea, 2 nay.
So Commerce number 30 has passed.
Thank you very much.
Education number 1. Senator Dyson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I made an error in not offering Commerce number 27, and I wonder if I might do so at this time.
Yes, go right ahead.
All right, move Commerce number 27.
Object.
All right, so a year ago, let's see, in 2005, we appropriated $1 million to the help campfires acquire a new facility, and they've done so. This group serves about 5,000 youth in the Anchorage area, and this request is for $450,000 for them to make the movement into their new facility and the expenses related to that. And if this amendment fails, I guess I would ask the leave of the committee to nominate a sum that they would feel comfortable with. It really makes these folks able to use the money that we appropriated 2.5 years ago and continue their services.
You know, I sort of remember last year in the conversation about campfire that was not going to be an ongoing request. And so I'm disappointed to see that they're back with this kind of request, because there certainly was the understanding last year that got them into their new location, because they had some problems with the lease and having to move out. So I will maintain my objection. Anyone else have any comments? Senator Bundy.
Yeah, Thank you. I'm wondering if you could help me understand why it costs almost $500,000 to move into a new building. I mean, is the building not complete, or?
I actually don't know.
Paying union wages.
I trust the people that brought me this, but I don't know the details.
Okay, thank you.
Brief at ease. I have a document here. Maybe I can see if I can. Call the roll on Commerce 27, please.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Wilkin?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
3A or A?
So, Commerce 27 fails to be adopted.
What are you going to offer up?
Okay, education number one, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move education number one.
Object.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Amendment number, education number one has to do with the Department of Education CIP's projects, the first new school construction, which numbers 1 through 38. And what we have done is included all the schools that are up for new construction, which except for White Mountain, which was taken care of in the supplemental because of the fire that went on there. In fact, I'd like to have an amendment to the amendment, and that has been passed out. I'm assuming everybody has that, which deletes the Copper River Glen Allen Elementary School for $11.4 million, which is already in the capital budget on page 43, line 20. And so with that, I would encourage the passage of amendment education number one.
First, we need to accept the amendment to the amendment. You want to move the amendment to the amendment?
I move the amendment to the amendment, Madam Chairman.
Is there objection to the amendment to the amendment? Okay, education number one is amended. I just want everyone to be sure that they've read line number two, which is a sum of $547,178,836 is appropriated from the general fund. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It's good to point that out. However, that number is not correct. The corrected number.
Oh, excuse me. It's $536 million.
There, you've got the arithmetic right.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you correcting me.
Matt Sewins comes through again, Madam Chairman. With that wisdom, I will go ahead and encourage passage of this amendment.
I want to be sure that everyone notices this is listed in alphabetical order. And there was a method there, I am quite sure. And that Anchorage is now on top here. Okay, is there further discussion about amendment education number one amended? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm glad that you pointed out the number there, but on page 4, lines 9 through 11, there's some contingency language, and this is related to the PPT passing. And with the effective date and the bill as it currently exists, will bring in to the state of Alaska an additional amount of in excess of $2 billion. So it's not that the funds aren't there, and this with this amendment, it would still leave $1.5 billion still on the table.
Senator Bundy.
Well, Madam Chair, it is that the funds aren't there because unless the senator from Bethel can assure me he knows what the price of oil will be for the next several years, that $2 billion is a little more than a figment of our imagination. So I would entertain considering supporting this if the bill's author or the author of the amendment would consider using the earnings of the permanent fund to fund this.
Senator Olson.
Madam Chairman, thank you very much for this opportunity. Certainly as the concerns of a fiscal conservative like myself, I can identify with Senator Bundy. And what I'd like to do is first of all, offer that it wouldn't take several years. If you just look at the effective date change from July 1st, 2006 to April 1st, 2006 of the PPT at $60 a barrel, we'll raise an additional $450 million. And that's at $60 a barrel. Obviously, tonight when I went home and looked at the price of oil, it closed over $71 a barrel. And so with progressivity, within a year, you're going to raise $1.7 billion. And so you wouldn't have to wait. You just got to go ahead and look at the numbers, and within a year, you'll have money left on the table.
We're going to have a brief at ease so everyone can study this. Thank you. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I
interrupted you.
I'm sorry?
Very rudely interrupted you with my brief EDs to catch my breath.
I understand. At this time of the night, we all need power surges and whatever else. But at least with that, Madam Chairman, I do want to congratulate you on one thing, and that's you pointed out one of the first things I learned when I went to school, and that was my ABCs. Anchorage was first, went on to Bering Straits, and went on from there. And so with that. Are there any other questions on amendment before I have another amendment to the amendment? No?
Are there any questions of the senator from Nome? No. Senator Olson, what's your next amendment?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chairman, I want to congratulate the senator from Anchorage in considering to use the permanent fund earnings. And so instead of using the passage of the PPT, which is the latter part of the amendment, the last four lines there, I'd like to take him up on his offer to look at funding this not with PPT monies, but with the earnings from the permanent fund. I'd like that up for discussion.
Okay, will you want to consider that as a conceptual amendment?
Yes, I will.
Okay, we'll move that the earnings of the permanent fund are the fund source. Okay, Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I need a little more specifics. Was he wanting to use the monies that went into the dividend, or was this the excess earnings?
Recommend an amendment to the amendment?
No, I'm just happy to follow along here.
Madam Chair, I wish I could say that I would be the leader in this fall. I was just taking his lead on that, and I would be obviously the excess of the earnings.
Excess of the permanent fund? Okay. Conceptual amendment. Two, education number one is it's the excess earnings of the permanent funds will be the fund source. Is there objection to the excess earnings of the permanent fund being the fund source? Then amendment number two to education number.
Madam Chair, I object.
You object? Did you have anything you wanted to
object to the amendment of the amendment?
Okay. Did you have any explanation or?
No, I like the original fund source, Madam Chairman.
Okay. Yeah. There is objection to the amendment. To the amendment, is there further objection, or further? Anyone have any further comments? I too would object to the amendment. To the amendment.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will. Remove my amendment to the amendment then.
Amendment number two to education number one.
Uh-huh. Yes, and I will put it back on the table in the original way that it was presented.
Okay. So we have the language at the latter part on page four, section B, as appropriations are contingent on the passage by the 24th Alaska State Legislature and enactment into a law of a version of Senate Bill 35. So we're back to the original funding source. Is there further? Oh, Senator Bundy. Yeah,
back to the original amendment. Obviously, all worthy causes. Continue to point out we're spending money we don't have yet, or we're anticipating spending money we don't have, and one of the most consistent bits of advice I get from my constituents is don't blow all this money, put some away for the future. There's been an ongoing mantra that we need a long-range plan, and where are we to start spending any possible PPT money at this point? I'm sure there would be many people in line, and we would have many more amendments, so perhaps we ought not to encourage that.
Are there further comments? Senator Olson?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I totally agree with the previous speaker. Certainly, we don't want to be spending money that we don't have, but this amendment that I have put in is contingent on something else happening, which is the PPT. If the PPT doesn't pass, then obviously the amendment's not going to get funded. I can live by that, and I have no problem with it. In fact, what it does do, it leaves money on the table. And so for somebody to say that we're spending money that we don't have, I guess I just want to question that line of thinking. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Senator Stedman.
Just a point of clarification, my understanding would be when the President, the Senate drops his gavel here next week and this sunsets if PPT isn't passed. 11 days left, or however many days we got left. All running together now. 8 days left.
Question.
Senator Bundy.
Well, and if it does pass, I will quote my mentor from Eagle River, who says, education is an important state service, but it's only one of the important state services. And when and if there are additional state revenues, there are lots of, there should be lots of discussion, including how not to spend it all. So with that, I'll maintain my objection.
Further conversation? Further questions? The roll on education number one.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
3 yeas, 4 nays.
Education number one has failed. Education number two, Senator Dyson.
Yeah, move education number two.
Object.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The YK Delta School District has created a program called Alyeska Worldwide, and we saw a presentation in Senate House a week, 10 days ago, and this is one of the more extraordinary things it's been my privilege to witness. This, what these folks have done with modern electronics and so on, is they have, what we saw was kids from all over the area putting together the local history and village and family scrapbooks electronically, that they were able to capture the experiences and pictures and stuff from their elders. We saw native artisans from all over the area who had learned to market their products on the internet, and some pretty interesting, if not extraordinary, success stories. We saw that the electronic linking of schools to capture and teach the Yupik language all over the area. And this outfit is, this monies would enable these folks to not only continue doing what they're doing there, but market this technology and the training and the skills all over Alaska, and a major portion of being able to link virtual schools, e-commerce, and some great ways of capturing local history and local culture.
Senator Wilkin.
Madam Chair, well, I appreciate the effort, and I a couple things I think would be helpful for the committee. The Yukon Koyukuk School District, this budget contains $219,000 in general fund money to try to either heal up or close the Alyeska Central School. You'll remember that Yukon Koyukuk picked up the Alyeska Central School. They're in their third year now, and the Department of Education estimated 750 students. They ended up their first year with about half of that, and in their third year, they have even less. So they are on a downhill slide, and they have to decide whether to bolster up the correspondence part of their program or just shut it down. And this $219,000 helps them do that. So I'm reluctant to fund this within that same school district, because I think it's going to be a diversion of their efforts to find out whether they can really support LES Central. The other piece is there's other folks that are interested in this type of a thing. And I think this, while this project is noble, I think it deserves the full committee process to go through and have others make presentations. With all due respect to the folks that visited me on two occasions this session, I sat through their presentations in my office, and I today can't tell you what they really want to do. So that's for a number of reasons, but I think, Madam Chair, that if we really want to do something like this, because it is the future, that we run it through the committee process and have a deliberative discussion about how we're going to fund what amounts to using the internet to benefit our education system. So this is a good amendment. It's just at the wrong time, and I'll be voting no.
I do want to remind the members that on page 6, the Associated Alaska School Boards Consortium for Digital Learning has been included. And I would really like to proceed with that, and let's see where we get with that, and then in future perhaps come back to this. Senator Wilkin, do you maintain your objection?
I do.
Senator Dyson, did you have anything further for the committee? Robin, please.
Senator Hoffman? Yes. Senator Olson? Yes. Senator Stedman? No. Senator Bundy? No. Senator Dyson? Yes. Senator Wilkin? No. Senator Green? No. 3 yay, 4 nay.
So education number 2 has failed to pass the committee. Senator Dyson, fish and game number 1.
Ed 3. I think
Pardon
that...
Me? Wait.
Education number 3.
Yeah, Madam.
Oh, okay. Education number 3. Sorry.
Yes, education number 3. I move education number 3.
Okay. Let's be reminded that should read page 109, line 30, with a change in the CS.
Right.
Okay, I'll object.
Okay. Madam Chairman, I think it may take an amendment of the amendment to get the proper version. Version L on the table tonight,
uh-huh.
And then on line 1, have it page 107, and then change line, where it says following line 2, make that line 4, and then on line 2, where it says insert a new section, make IJ. That would be amendment number 1. Conform education number 3 to the new CS.
Okay. Did you want to explain your amendment?
The amendment?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Amendment number 3 would fund the Schoenbauer Middle School mold remediation and water infiltration damage that's been going on in the schools. Been under construction for 3 years. The children have been out of there. The school is now going through a repair. Earlier this year, White Mountain had burnt down, so there was, in the fast track, there was a grant made in to replace White Mountain along with the Glen Allen School. And then there was, the Glen Allen School is in the budget, at least the last one I looked at. And then Sun Valley, the major retrofit there, Sioux Valley, major retrofit there. This is the fourth school in the state that has substantial problems and needs to be addressed. The Department of Education's been involved in this. And this would be a grant to cover the 70-30 match. The school could go through the normal process that would be applying for getting on the major maintenance list and going through the 70-30 in that direction, but this would accelerate that process. Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Shedman, and did you have a comment? Senator
yes.
Bundy.
I heard Senator Shedman say could apply. You mean they haven't applied to the DOE's list up to this time?
DOE has a September cutoff, and this building's been in the, at that point, it was in the review stage of how much retrofitting. It was a remodel for $9 million, and they had some design and construction problems, and they had an additional $4 million put in it. And now they need to have roughly $5 to $6 million worth of work on it to get it into shape where they could have it occupied by the children. The kids in the community have been, for the last 3 years, in a mall going to school. This is one of these challenge or problem schools, and we just need to get it behind us. That's why it's on the table in front of you tonight.
Senator Bundy.
I have a little trouble following. There was $9 million, and then there was $5 million. Now there's $4 million. What's the total that's going into this building?
Madam Chair, if I recall, the initial remodeling value was around $9 million. I think it was $9 million. And then the retrofit after that was $4 million. And this is the third, or the second time coming back in, which is between $5 and $6 million. The Department of Education's been involved down in Ketchikan with the bidding process to make sure, or the borough wanted to make sure that the Department of Education was aware of the extensive problems here and that the proper process was followed to allow a 70-30 match. This project was bid here, I think, last week. They couldn't get, I tried to get it in the fast track when we did White Mountain and Glen Allen, Sioux Valley, but the cost estimates weren't in. Again, this would be just a faster way of dealing with this situation. The slower way would be for the borough to get the Schoenbohr Middle School on the major maintenance list, which the deadline is coming in September. The known values of the repairs at that time would be, there'd be little to no estimations on it, so it would accelerate very quickly to the top, I've been told, by Department of Education, and which would allow the borough to come back in and either deal with it through the 70-30 school construction or the major maintenance list. They'd have a couple of options, is my understanding, but this would just accelerate it. The end of the day, the state is going to cover 70% of the cost of this, and then the community will be paying off some bonds. So it's just a timing issue. It's a mess, Senator Bundy. I don't know any other way of putting it.
Yeah. Thank you. I understand that. I'm wondering, at what point do you tear the whole building down and start over, if finding that's cheaper than, we've got $17, $18 million into remodel at this point. It seems, I assume the architects know what they're doing, but seems like an ongoing money sink. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and as we had talked before, I certainly prefer to have this on the list and have it. There is legislation coming through that extends the 70-30 program, and certainly would allow for this to go through the process as the other schools on the list will be doing. And I maintain my objection. Is there a Senator Olson?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Certainly, I'd like to speak from my experience in that I owned a building that was once had a bunch of mold in it, and having seen children with mold pneumonia. It's a devastating medical situation, and the longer we have the school down for repairs, the longer it's not going to be usable, so I would speak in favor of the amendment.
And we have a process for this, and this does not fall within that. Senator Stedman.
I think that statement's pretty correct, Madam Chair, that there is a process. This is just an acceleration.
Are there further comments? Call the roll, please.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
2 yeas, 5 nays.
Madam Chairman?
Senator Stedman?
Yes, if I could just make a comment, just so it's clear to the community and that there is, even though that amendment did not pass, there is a process, and we've been in contact with the Department of Education for the borough to go through to get these costs taken care of, and what was on the table and is us trying to get an accelerated infusion of state capital into the project versus in November or December. But at the end of the day, it all comes out in the wash.
Yeah. Well, it certainly seems like that district would have a compelling case for getting, you know, the list amended and getting work going on it. And so hopefully that will work, as you say. And certainly I know that Sean Barr has certainly shown that it's a worthy project. So we wish you well. Senator Dyson, fish and game number one.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I want to withdraw amendment number one, or fish and game number one, and I'd like to have a brief at ease.
Okay. Come back to order, and we will come back to your amendment, Senator Dyson, and I have the DHS number one, which I will move DHS number one. It has been brought to me by the department. And it looks to me as if this is positive. Yes. Yeah, this is, we will definitely accept this amendment. And, this goes into the supplemental, and it is like positive. This is money for us. Is there any objection? No. Thank you. I knew.
May their tribe increase.
Yeah, may their tribe increase. Yes. And I will also move. DHSS number two. This is also for the supplemental. And
easy come, easy go.
Easy come, easy go. Yeah, increased Medicaid for seniors and disabled, nearly $3 million total. And let's see, that is other funds, general fund and appropriation items there. And there's a difference of only $3,250,000 or so, and this is one of those necessary things that we do this time of year. Is there objection to DHSS number two? DHSS number two is adopted. Oh, we'll withdraw DHSS number three. Okay, this is dot puff number two. I move dot puff number two. Rather compelling case was made.
We skipped over long one. Was that intentional?
Sorry. Okay, thank you very much, Senator Bundy. Law number one. I will move law number one. And this is the amount appropriated to the Civil Division for the work related to the state gas pipeline and to bringing North Slope natural gas to market and other oil and gas projects for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2006. This, too, is part of the supplemental. And is there objection to adopting law number one? It is adopted. Puff number two is an additional capital project. It's pilings to assist longer ferries, docks in Huna and Cake when the charter ferry is in service. And it's my amendment. And is there objection to dot puff number two? Dot puff number two is adopted. Dot puff number three. Oh, this is changing. I'm even taking money out of my district. Dot puff number three, and it has been found that for the Palmer Chugach Street paving, House District 13, there is federal funds. Federal funds are available, and that money will be diverted to the rural airports, and it's a net wash. Dot puff number three is adopted. Dot puff number five. I move dot puff number five.
Check for explanation.
Check for explanation. And oh, this is, if you read the explanation, there are a bridge will allow for community connectivity and allow the larger fish processor in Twin Hills to truck product the short distance to the larger Togiak Airport. And brief at ease. Us any information on this?
Maybe the department could use the department here. DOT?
Madam
Chair. Here he comes. John, could you come up to the table, please?
Which one are we on?
We're on dot puff number five, having to do with the Togiak Twin Hill Bridge design and engineering. For $500,000 general fund, a bridge will allow for community connectivity.
And the question is, Madam Chair?
The members of the committee were asking for more description of what this is and what the purpose and all is.
Madam Chairman, this is just a design study for a bridge in the Togiak Twin Hills area, and it will link the community to the fish processing plant, as much as I know about it.
Okay, thank you. Senator Bundy.
Thank you. This is the design and engineering. What would the total cost be to Sarah?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, we don't know the total cost until we've done the analysis of where the bridge is best located and what the geotechnical report is.
Senator Bundy.
Madam Chair, there's discussion of some other bridges in Alaska, at least one that'll be a toll bridge. Is there any discussion of this being a toll bridge, being it's to the benefit of local business?
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, there is no discussion of a toll on this bridge.
Well, I'd be interested in seeing that added.
Okay. Are you objecting to dot puff number five?
After it gets their design done, I think they better start thinking about a toll as well.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Is there objection to dot puff number five? Dot puff number five is adopted. And I'm sure that Senator Bundy wishes to withdraw dot puff number seven.
Madam Chair, that I probably would, but there are many people in my district who I've polled said that this money could be put to better use to areas that are of interest to them. I'm sure that there are different points of view, but I would be remiss in my duty as their representative to not offer this amendment, so I'll offer the amendment.
Okay, an object, of course. And I would like to say that the Kibata group has done a fairly good job of putting into place a mechanism by which they will be funding and going after the money for primarily the remainder of this bridge, and are, in fact, I think out of state right now, doing one of the processes for arranging for a variety of different types of funding that they plan to repay and not come back to the state for additional funds. I, of course, object. Any other comment? Wendy, Mindy, please.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Bundy?
Yes.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Wilkins?
No.
Senator Green?
You mean no.
I mean no. No. Whew. Okay.
One nay, six nay.
Okay. Well. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, hope springs eternal. I will move dot buff number 8.
I will again object.
Now, Madam Chair, I've included some information, folks that I've heard from in Ketchikan, that don't think that this would be the best use of transportation monies. I've lived in Ketchikan. I can easily see where people who would live in the north part of the city or out Clover Pass would find it much more inconvenient to use a bridge to get to Gravina and the airport than the current ferry. I suspect the current ferry will have to continue even if they do a bridge. And I guess the most support I've heard from Ketchikan people is, well, it would produce lots of jobs. And it would undoubtedly do that, cause them then to have to expand their infrastructure, and then in 2 or 3 years when those jobs go away, they would be even in worse shape than they are now. So I don't think the Gravina Bridge might be interesting, I don't think it's the best use of this money, and offer the amendment.
Object.
Thank you. Is there further comment? Senator Stedman?
Yes, I'd like to speak to the objection.
Right ahead.
When I was a little boy, they flew up here in Southeast Alaska in PBYs, and then they decided to build some airports. They had some federal planning that took place, and they decided to put airports around. And they were going to connect two of them with bridges. And the one in Sitka, which was built in the early 70s, and then the one to Gravina Island in Ketchikan, which is yet to be built, which is the subject of the amendment tonight to remove some of the funding for. This bridge has been in the planning stages for roughly around 30 years, and earnestly the last half a dozen or so to a dozen. There's been a lot of discussion around the country as far as this bridge being referred to a bridge as nowhere. It's actually a bridge from a city roughly 25,000 or so to Gravina Island, and around 20,000. I'll have to go back and check the numbers of the area. And then Gravina Island, which is a fairly large, flat island, has timber resources, the airport, and a bunch of industrial property along with recreational and potential home sites. It would allow the community to expand for the next century and not be a dead-ended bridge to nowhere. This is not what it is at all. It happens to go across a little island called Pennock Island that has 30 or so people on it, and or families that live around it. So with that, Madam Chair, I would like to just say that there's never been a better time for the state of Alaska to have the delegation they have in Washington, D.C., and the financial capability of the state lining up to build large projects that'll benefit the state for many decades to come. And we should not wither under the impact of a potential $100 million or so of general funds that may be needed to build this bridge. It's probably gonna end up a little less depending on how we work the match monies. There is roughly that much money being spent every year for the last couple of years in the universities of Alaska's
capital project. So although they seem large and daunting, these bridges, both Gervian and Kinnick Arm, are not that daunting when we look at the financial position the state is in today. So with that, Madam Chairman, I do not support this amendment.
Okay, Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be voting no on the amendment also, but I would like to say that while I support building the Gravina Bridge for now, I think that next year when we come back, we'll have a discussion about a better way to do it, a better way to finance it, because this all is going to come out of, and we shouldn't be fooled by federal funds. That's federal funds that are discretionary on our part to spread across the state as we wish. There may be a better way to finance it, and that could be a Garvey bond that essentially we could build this for free. The other part is there may be a better design, and I understand there are designs that won't be quite so expensive, and it may involve some rerouting of cruise ship traffic, but it indeed will serve the purpose of getting from Ketchikan to the west. So I support the bridges for now, but I think next year when we come back, we'll review this and take a look to see if we can do it better. Thank you
for your comments. Any other comments? Objection is still maintained. Mindy.
Madam Chair, I'd like to go ahead and speak against the
please.
Amendment, if I could.
Yes, please.
Or speak to the amendment or whatever, however you want to put it. I guess one of the things that has caught my attention, having flown in and out of Ketchikan for when I've gone through with my airplane, having gone down there and realized how tight that approach is when you're landing on the side of the mountain. But I'd like to go back to 1973, and the pictures that I saw when I heard about the Alaska Airlines accident down there with the crumpled up 727 off the side of the runway on fire, where it was a fatal accident. I guess, and the difficulty that they had in talking to and hearing the stories of the pilots, especially in the helicopters that were loading victims onto the top of the pontoons to try and get them across to the hospital. Being a pilot, being a medical person as well, as you look across the way, and you can just imagine those doctors and nurses looking just a couple miles away, watching the smoke rise, and realizing that they did not have any surface transportation to get those hurt people over to the medical center or the hospital that was there. I think that as we look at now, it's not all that uncommon that we coming down on the jet will go ahead and overhead Juno. One of these times there might be a repeat of that bad tragedy. If we're on board there, certainly, especially if it's after hours, late at night, when I've been down there, I've had to sleep in my airplane because the ferry was shut down for the night. The bridge certainly would add to the ability to extract people that are in need of help. And so with that, I would speak against the amendment.
Senator Bundy.
Madam Chair, at least anyone think I'm not in favor of aviation safety. I just point out, whenever Alaska Airlines is going in, a ferry does run, and it takes all of 3 to 5 minutes to cross that channel. Probably takes longer for an ambulance to get to my house than that in Anchorage. So I still support the amendment.
Thank you. Any other comments? The objection is maintained. Mindy?
Senator Olson?
Yes. I'm sorry.
This vote is to, if you favor.
I understand what the vote is. I just want to know, how do I rescind my action? Do I just say no, or?
Is there any member that would like to change his vote?
Okay. I do, Madam Chairman. Yay to nay.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Stedman?
Of course, no.
Senator Bundy?
Yes.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Wilken?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
One yay, six nay.
Okay, and if we can go back, I think you now have education number 4 that has been put on your desk. Senator Dyson.
Yeah, move education number 4.
Okay. I'll object just for discussion.
Yeah, this just adds some intent language to page six, line 28.
Okay, and...
Just to make it really clear that as the intention of the legislature, that this appropriation be used for educational technology.
Okay, and if you'll look on page six, following line 28 there, it's just after the allocation and appropriation for the Association of School Boards Consortium for Digital Learning Grant, and you just want to have this information. It is the intent of the legislature that the Association of Alaska School Boards Consortium for Digital Learning include instruction for responsible use of education technology. Is there objection?
Thank you,
Senator Dyson. Education number four is adopted. Senator Stedman, are we on?
Senator Wilkin.
No.
Number 10.
I think we're on dot puff number 9. Senator Stedman.
Madam Chairman, move amendment number 9.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. We are.
Can we have a brief at ease?
Yes, go right ahead. Back on the record, Senator Stedman, DOT number 9.
Yes, I'd like to move amendment number 9.
Object.
The amendment number 9, Madam Chairman, would just carve out of the commingled pool at DOT $9,926,370 general funds and allocate it directly to the Gravina Island Bridge. That money is already there. This is just an accounting maneuver. Accounting link-up, it does not draw any funds on the general funds. They're already sitting there. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, sir. Senator, did you have any comments, Senator Bundy?
Anything that would encourage this project or move it forward with more dispatch, I'm opposed to.
Okay. I maintain my objection. Mindy.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Wilkin?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
4A, 3A.
DOT number 9 is adopted. And are we going to come back to...
No,
you ready for it? Okay.
Madam Chair, move dot puff 11.
Oh, okay. Are you not doing 10?
Oh, what did you... Oh, moved it. Yes, pardon me. Dot puff 10? Pardon me.
Object.
Madam Chair, just a little history. Those that have been fortunate enough to spend some time in Fairbanks know that on the east side, there's the Steese Highway, which is a major arterial. On the west side, there's the Parks Highway, major arterial. Down the middle, we don't have what would amount to, for those familiar with Anchorage, a C couplet or a C connector. The Illinois Barnett Street project has been in the works for about 15 years and was moving along through all its environmental work. EISs, that was all completed. And then we hit 50,000 people and became an FMATS. So our FMATS allocation, there's no room in there for this major project. So this funds this major couplet for Fairbanks traffic so that we don't become gridlocked like other towns. And we can't do it under FMATS just because we don't have the allocation every year. It'd eat up 5 years of our allocation. So with that, this is a major transportation effort on behalf of the state in Fairbanks to help us get our people moved around. I encourage a yes vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think this is quite a sizable request for one evening. I'm kind of gasping over it, and I would think that this would have come through the process in a little bit different manner, so I will respectfully object. Any other comments? Mindy.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Wilkin?
Yes.
Senator Green?
No.
1 yay, 5 or 6 nay.
So dot puff 10 has failed.
Madam Chair, I won't be offering number 11, but I would move dot puff 12.
Is there an objection to dot puff 12?
Correct.
Senator
yes, ma'am.
Wilkin.
I passed out for the committee a chart that looks like this. The question is always asked, what do the bridges, Kinnick Arm and Gravina, do to the National Highway System projects across the state? This is our best guess on what it means. The bottom line is that you'll see at the bottom, northern, central, and southeast region, you'll see that funding the Gravina bridges, as it shows there in the left boxes, under TLU bridge funding, and allocating 48% to be spent out of the National Highway System allocation. You'll see there that in each of those regions, using the 40-40-20 that DOTPUF uses, it's $13.4 million of lost funds that each of those regions will be contributing in order to build those two bridges. That's a total of $182 million over the next 5 years. I don't mind building bridges. I never met a bridge I didn't like. But I can tell you that the folks I represent don't want the bridges to be built at the expense of the roads that we build in interior Alaska northern region. So having said all that, DOTPUF number 12 is $13.1 million that essentially goes to fund one of our major projects that dropped off of the list when the bridges came on in September. We lost seven projects because of the bridge funding. Two came back on in February. This picks up one of the five, the Fairbanks Cease intersection, picks up one, and then the remainder of the money goes into our FMATS so that we can continue our FMATS transportation. So the net result of this, Madam Chair, is the $13 million holds the northern region harmless from building the two bridges that we spoke of earlier. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Stedman.
I think I object. I don't know if anybody's objected to the motion, but I object. The numbers, there's been a lot of discussion about the impact of these bridges in this. Earlier in the fall, there was a presentation around the state that DOT did about the potential impact of the construction of these two bridges, which has since been modified, rethought, and the impact substantially lowered. The number that I have from DOT on which would replace on the chart that's been handed out right before the northern, central, and southeast regions are spread out there is not a $33.4 million, but an actual $20.8 million impact. So I think the numbers here are overstated. It's one of the issues that the Finance Committee could work on next January and February. In March, as we come up with a cash flow plan to construct these bridges to get the cash flow or the impact of all of the areas in the state nailed down. And it's not so much the impact on Fairbanks or on Anchorage or up in Nome or in Juneau, but it's the impact all around the state. And some of us have argued that these two bridges should be pulled out of the normal STIP system so we could see what the STIP statewide transportation plan looks like before the installing these bridges back in so we can hold everybody harmless. There's still some discussion and disagreement over how DOT interprets the federal highway money. There is an issue if it's regulation or statute and some of these things that we need to flush out as a committee. So therefore, Madam Chairman, I oppose this amendment. I think it's premature, and I think the numbers presented here tonight overstate the impact of both bridges.
Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wonder if Mr. McKinnon could come to the table. So Mr. McKinnon, you've seen the chart. Senator Dyson, would you please hand John the chart? We've worked with DOT to try to nail this number down because it's no secret that this has been a bit of a sensitive issue in my town. So we've tried to nail this number down. Mr. McKinnon, does this chart represent as accurately as we can the loss in National Highway System statewide due to the two bridges?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkin, there are a number of different ways of looking at what the loss is, and this is certainly one of the ways. The department put another element into this, and I'm being very truthful here. And in looking at the bridge earmarks that originally came to the state, there were, I believe, about $125 million worth of the bridge earmarks that were not earmarked formula funds. And we were told by the congressional delegation that those were earmarks the state would not have gotten if it weren't for the bridges. So when we applied that to essentially the same numbers you have, it lowered the amount a little bit. And it lowered it to about, I wish I had the numbers in front of me on that. It made the effect of the bridges on the NHS allocation to the tune of about $20 million a year statewide because of those additional earmarks that were there. So in one hand, yes, this is an accurate way of looking at it. If you consider that those other earmarks were, we would not have gotten them, the state would not have. On the other hand, it's somewhere between your number and the $20 million number.
Statewide,
yes.
Madam Chair, I have a document from DOT. Could I hand that to?
Yeah. Rose, you want to get that, please?
It would help in the discussion.
Senator Bundy.
Yeah.
Senator Bundy.
Oh, okay, thank you. Well, just to point out, we, of course, are going ahead with the funding for the two major bridges, $190 million. And if we're going to hold the rest of the state harmless, it's $20 or $30 million. So the unintended consequences, again, we're talking about just getting started on these projects and costing the state over $200 million. It's going to be interesting as they keep coming back for more and more and more.
Be reminded, though, that this, we as a legislature, certainly instituted the Kinnick Arm Bridge and toll authority. We sent the instruction for that to move forward. And then the congressional delegation has been very, very, very supportive all along and has wanted it and had indeed more money than we have in there now. And when we continue to receive the instruction from the congressional delegation that they wanted this to continue. And so it's a little bit of perhaps a stretch to say, because if we were to go back and in every case find a designation for a certain area and subtract that out on every department and every agency we have, I'm sure we could all find a way to say this is what the impact was on my district. And so at some point, there has to be some kind of statewide vision for other areas as well. With that, Senator Stedman, your chart.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. I would just like to have the DOT representative, John McKinnon, glance at this is just to help him refresh his memory. The number I quoted was $20.8 million, and it's reflected in this document. What do the bridge earmarks actually cost? Anyway, Madam Chair, I'm just trying to facilitate the accurate representation of the impact.
Senator Wilkin.
Well, there's a misconception. There is no new money. We had $2.5 billion out of TLU at $500 million a year. There was no additional money for the bridges. We thought there was going to be additional money, as there had been in the past, but something happened in midsummer to make the bridges not additive but deductive. And when that happened, the interior region, central and southeast, all lost projects. I can name my seven projects that I lost in the northern region, and each other region can do the same. So the perception that we received additional money for the bridges is just not correct. And I'm sorry to take time tonight, Madam Chair, to walk through this because it's complicated at best. But the bottom line is that the money was allocated to us to spend as we wish. And with all due respect to our congressional delegation, that's our job, that's not theirs. If they want to make it additive and bring home the bacon that doesn't affect the rest of the state, then so be it. But when their actions start taking road projects out of the future of Interior Alaska in the northern region all the way from Barrow to Nome over to Fairbanks and the border, north of the Alaska Range down to Valdez. I think that is a statewide perspective, and I think that I'm just trying to put the notion that if we are going to build the bridges, that there's also a price for the rest of the state, because we are going to lose projects for the next 5 years across the state because we're building those bridges. And this amendment simply sets the mark that if we're going to do that, we should at least leave the rest of the state whole so that 5 or 6 years from now, we're not 5 or 6 years behind from building our infrastructure that's going to be so needed over the next few years. So that's the intent of the amendment.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. McKinnon, the comment has been made by the Senator from Fairbanks about 7 projects being lost because of the 2 bridges. How many total projects throughout the state have been either put farther down in the priority list or have been quote-unquote lost?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, no projects were really lost. They've just been moved out in years, and that's what Senator Wilkin means by
what's that number?
Lost. There were probably a dozen statewide that were moved out because of that. There was somewhat of a misconception in the previous stint in that there were projects shown in there that had a little money associated with them, some of the design money, and they showed in the out years the need for many millions of dollars of construction money. If you were to add all those into the equation, there were a lot more that were lost, but they were never programmed for the next 4 or 5 years.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Well, the trunk road has been on the STIP for 20 years. Senator Bundy.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm sympathetic. I find it a little interesting that, of course, we're here trying to backfill a loss of federal funds with general funds. And I suspect, and I hope I'm wrong, but I suspect that in out years, we'll not only be subsidizing the marine highway system, we'll be subsidizing the maintenance and operation of bridges as well out of the general fund. And I won't be here to say I told you so, but just remember I thought it. Thank you.
Are there other comments? The objection is maintained. Mindy.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Did you repeat it? Thank you.
Sorry. Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Wilkin?
Yes.
Senator Green?
Yes.
2 yea, 5 nay.
So DAPA 12 has failed. Senator Hoffman.
I won't be offering amendment number 13.
13 is withdrawn. Senator Hoffman, University 1.
DAPA 14.
We have 2 stacks here, sorry. Thank you for keeping me on track.
Madam Chair, move DOT number 14.
I'll object for explanation.
Madam Chair, this milepost 185 milepost 351 to 356 is on the Parks Highway leading out of Fairbanks. That project was moved down to the Chilitna area in order to build it, but we found out just yesterday or today that project is not ready to go, and this amendment brings the project back to the Parks Highway just out of Fairbanks. It's a net zero and can be built this summer. With the return to a project that is ready to bid. And I might say, Madam Chair, that the department is in favor of this, has no objection.
Well, isn't this the same amendment that was a 10-5 and we took 5 out and you said, no, we're ready to go on that, we need the whole 10-5? Mr. McKinnon?
Madam Chairman, this is the project, but the 10-5 was the amount of needed for the entire project.
Right.
And this also happens to be 10-5, and this is a fair swap. It turns out that the project that we thought that the 10-5, the one near Chilitna, had a few more design issues to take care of. And if we move this to the one that's closer to Esther, 351, 356, it's ready to go.
Okay. So this is neutral.
This is neutral, yes.
Okay. Is there further discussion about DOT number 14? I withdraw my objection. DOT 14 is passed.
Thank you.
Of course, it moved it out of the Matsu to Fairbanks, but if it's not ready, it's not ready.
It'll be back.
But I won't forget. University number one, Senator...
I won't be offering amendment number one.
Okay.
I'll move amendment number two.
Number two, okay.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The amendment number two is for community campus renewals, $4.2 million. These are projects that were listed in the red book on page 29. It has several projects. Chuck G. at 338.1, IFC general funds 717.1, the Kuskokwim campus at 2,816,000, and Northwest at 250, Palmer at 77. The total is for 4.2 million.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Senator Stedman.
Madam Chairman, I'm digging through all my papers somewhere in here. I've got a nice spiffy sheet. Don't we have a capital budget for the university of about 100 million this year?
I think the last I saw was, might be about right, 89. There may be some smaller projects in this budget that I can't put my finger on.
I've got it somewhere in my pile, but it's late tonight.
Senator Wilkin.
But just to be clear, that's not general fund money. That's all funds, federal and university receipts. Just so the record doesn't think it's 100 million of GF.
I think the proposed, some of the proposed projects, though, are general fund, are they not?
Mm-hmm.
On the tobacco bonds?
Yeah.
So but it will probably amount to over 100 million. Did I hear objection on this? Senator Bundy?
Well, I'm just looking at the totals, and I've been to the Palmer campus, and I've been to the one in Kotzebue, but I'm needing to understand why there's such a huge disparity in the need for maintenance. Chuck G is $338 million in Palmer's, which is a pretty big campus, is only 77.
Senator Hoffman, do these numbers come out of
Red Book?
Out of the Red Book.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's what the
because they were over
where the figures came from. What's that? Is there anything further, Senator Hoffman?
No.
Okay. The roll, please, Mindy.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Dyson?
Pass.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Bundy?
Pass.
Senator Wilkins?
No.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Green?
Yes.
3A, 4A.
Amendment, University 2 has failed. Language.
Madam Chair, can we have a brief at ease?
Brief at ease. I believe we're at language number one. And I move language number one. And for a little history on this, there is currently in the House Ways and Means Committee been a discussion on the potential for litigation with the previous actuary on the state PERS and TERS boards. And this would take $200,000 from the public employees retirement system and $200,000 from the teacher's retirement system to begin and have an attorney available for that has specialty in this kind of work. And And one thing that needs to happen, I will amend this on line 17. Toward the end of the line, it says the word immediately. That should read May 10, 2006. Are there any questions? Senator Stedman.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. I know it's getting late, so I'll keep it short, but I take it this would be for work outside of the normal Department of Law.
Yes.
Or special expertise.
It would be contract
work. Thank you.
Is there any objection? Language number one is adopted. Language number two is withdrawn. I'll move language number three.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dyson. Bundy.
Did we also have claims in the supplemental that we paid, if I remember?
This is judgments and claims.
Yeah,
I
think we had a substantial amount in the supplemental, too.
Yes, we did. Is there, Cheryl, do you have explanation, or is there someone here from the Department of Law? Okay, thank you. Joan, if you don't mind.
Madam Chair, I don't need the explanation. I'm just pointing out that we are losing a lot of suits.
Yes, we are. We are. Go ahead, Joan, if you could just give us a brief explanation, please.
Sure. Joan Brown with OMB. The reason this appropriation is in here is Senate Bill 232 included an amount necessary to pay judgments. This is claims settlements. So there's a distinction between the two.
Claims settlements.
Apparently they all cost, though.
They all cost money, don't they? Thank you. Did you have a question, Senator Dyson?
Yeah. What's the difference?
Judgment is...
John, could you get just a little closer to the mic, please?
The judgment is court-determined. The settlement is an agreement that's reached outside of the court process.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Language number three is adopted. Language number four. I move amendment number four.
And object for explanation, Madam Chair.
Oh, perhaps Cheryl Fraskid could come forward and explain.
That's a lot of firewood.
Thank you,
welcome,
Madam Chairman. It's lovely to be with you here tonight. Cheryl Fraska, Office of Management and Budget. This is an appropriation of $182.7 million to the PCE Endowment Fund. And so the result of this, if we add it to approximately $184 million balance that's currently in the fund, this would result in sufficient principle in which to have the 7% payout that's allowed under statute to fully fund the PCE program at about $25 million per year. So the result of this is that each year the endowment would have sufficient earnings to yield about $25 million available to pay for the program annually.
Senator Bundy.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I will maintain my objection in that while the PCE program is a state program that is of great interest to a number of people, I would much prefer they come back each year and ask for an appropriation rather than have this kind of sub rosa appropriation occur without legislative review and oversight.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Bundy. Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was falling asleep there for a bit, and I'm back now.
Are you good?
Amazing what $182 million will do to your adrenaline. So Cheryl, we'll have $366 million poked away, and at 7% that will fund it, but we all know that 7% isn't sustainable, so we'll be back here sometime in the near future. Because at 5%, it'll fund about $18 million, and that's about where it is today. So somewhere along the line, we'll be back looking for another couple hundred million to get to the 25. I guess I'm worried about the sustainability, but I guess what I'm really worried about is with 113 days gone in the session, we look at $183 million amendment. I guess I'm just a little bit taken aback and a little bit embarrassed by having this come to us at this late date without proper discussion in what the 113 days could afford us. So maybe this is something for another day, but it certainly isn't for tonight, and I'll be voting no.
Cheryl, could you address what is included in that last paragraph?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. What this is that the effective date for the appropriation, it would be contingent upon verification in FY06 that there's sufficient revenues in the general fund to cover this appropriation. So it's structured to be an FY06 current year appropriation, and when all the dust settles, that if there's sufficient additional revenues available to cover this, then the appropriation would stand.
At the rate we're going, what is the likelihood of that happening? That there's going to be any money left?
I haven't added up tonight.
Okay, very good. Anyone else have any questions? Or Senator Stedman?
Just a mechanical one. If I take it, this is the last $182 million in the general fund before the clock ticks and has to revert to the CBR. So this could be appropriated out of there into the school funding or forward funding or whatever mechanism, if we wanted to sweep that at the end of this session. Am I interpreting this correct?
Madam Chairman, this would be done before the end of the fiscal year, because right now you have a appropriation in Senate Bill 230, the fast track that you just passed, that says anything left over at the end of this year goes into the public education fund, as I recall. Mm-hmm. So that would be any year-end lapse would go into that. And so this would be an appropriation before we got to the year-end. So the question is there additional revenues that might come in this year that could cover this appropriation?
Senator Bundy.
Did I understand then, so if we didn't do this and $182.7 million were left, it would go into the education fund?
That's, Madam Chairman, that's my recollection, that there was that section in the fast track supplemental, mm-hmm. along with the other $300 million.
Pretty clear choice, $182.7 million for PCE or for education.
Senator Bundy. Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just, for the benefit of the committee, just remind us all that the endowment was started back in 1999 it was part of the negotiations for a CBR vote back in the late 90s. We put $188 million, I believe, out of the CBR into the Indian endowment, and that's how it got started.
Senator Olson.
And a further, the rest of the funds were supposed to be coming from the proceed from the four dam pool, which ran into its own difficulties along the way.
Any other comments? Take a brief at ease. I would like to amend this, and on the bottom line, instead of it being June 30th, it should read June 29th. Is the objection maintained?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Senator Olson?
Madam Chair, what does June 29, a day earlier, have to do with the, what's the effect on the amendment?
It keeps it from being if the amendment passes, it keeps it from being a David Teal caution that it keeps her from being a battle royal over where does the money go.
Okay.
This would appropriate it to the PCE and before the end of the year.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Mindy, call the roll, please.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Wilkin?
No.
Senator Green?
Yes.
Four yay, three nay.
Fiscal note number one for the supplemental. I will move fiscal note number one. It's a sum of $275,000 is appropriated to the Department of Revenue Tax Division for increased operating costs for the fiscal year ended 2006. And this, too, is contingent upon passage of Senate Bill 305 or HB 488. So the funds would come from any increased revenue. Otherwise, this isn't funded. Is there objection? Fiscal note number one is adopted. That is to the supplemental, by the way. Fiscal note number two, another supplemental request. I'll move fiscal note number two.
Object. Object.
Okay, would you...
Does this have to do with Senate Bill 112?
If not,
oh, yes,
make it...
Yes, it does.
Okay. Thank you. I remove my objection.
You move your objection. Is there a further objection to... Fiscal note number two is adopted. Fiscal note number three. There's a minor amendment. Instead of $7,149,300, we should get this passed really quickly.
Before it gets any bigger.
And it, too, is, this is in ACMUT, into law of a version of SESB 237, which is? Chris, you want to come forward and help me, please? I think it's, is it the judges and the, go ahead. Thank
for the
you.
For the record, I'm Chris Christensen, Deputy Administrative Director of the Alaska Court System. Madam Chair, this is for the bill that creates six new judgeships, two in Anchorage, two in Palmer, one in Kenai, and one in Fairbanks. There were some substantial capital costs associated with that to build new courtrooms in three of the communities. My understanding is that the purpose of this amendment is to take the capital money out of the fiscal note and put it in the capital budget. The problem is that the drafter of the amendment apparently used an old version of the fiscal note and not the latest version,
okay,
which was just adopted by House Finance last week.
Okay. So fiscal note number three, is there objection? Fiscal note number three is adopted. Has it, this has been passed out, technical? Number one? Okay. We'll take a brief at ease. We'll move technical number one. There are in this bill four duplications in the document. They are listed on the left, page 115, page 117, page 120, and 120 for the last one. And they're all to be deleted. And if you would like to know the location of the language, the first one is on page 4, lines 20 to 23. The second one is on page 9, lines 26 to 29. The third one is on page 4, lines 7 to 10. and page 32 on lines 27 to 29.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Why are we doing this?
They were duplicated in the document. They were put in two different places, and it's the same. We're just getting rid of the duplication.
I think you said that. I'm sorry, I missed it.
That's okay.
You have your amendment still. 13.
Amendment 115, line 18, delete 20,000, insert 20 million. It was a typo. And that's a fund change from master lease line of credit to general funds, and it saves 2.7 million per year in interest. I have been asked by briefly. Drafters of the final version be allowed to determine if we have placed something in the number section that needs to be in the language section and vice versa, that they have the discretion to do that, and that in the amendments there are some discrepancies on line references, but they know which line to refer to. And if we can give them the permission to do that, and if there's no objection, we will pass that instruction on to the drafters. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to return back to Amendment to Commerce number 13.
Yes, sir.
During the period of time that has elapsed between its initial appearance and now, I would prevail upon the wisdom of the people at this table to go ahead and look at the positive benefits that the community of St. Mary's has done, and certainly as they've gone ahead and showed initiative in the past to exhibit self-determination, and I'd certainly wanted people to go ahead and take a look at the request for the renovation of the facility that they have purchased so they can go on with what it was intended.
Senator Bunty.
Madam Chair, as I said earlier, I was inclined to support this because they are self-supporting, but with just recently spending $182 million on PCE, I don't think I can support. I don't know that can the state afford spending more money in rural Alaska tonight.
So you're objecting?
I am objecting.
Senator Vulcan.
Madam Chair, I appreciate what Senator Olson's trying to do, and I appreciate the stuff that he's given us, but this takes us back to some pending legislation, House Bill 16, and what we're going to do with boarding schools, training schools, prep schools. This is a dormitory residential project. And while it may be a good one, there are lots of other good ones out there, and I think we need to take a reasoned and measured look at how we grow these things across our state so that we're able to afford them and they provide the best education possible. So while I appreciate it and my undying gratefulness to St. Mary's because they're in one of the poorest areas of the state, but they carry their weight. And I look forward to the day that I can visit there and tell them thank you for being a beacon for those that choose to pay their fair share and do so. So with that, Senator Olson, I hope you carry that to them, but unfortunately I can't support a boarding school type model, boarding school until we have a statewide boarding school model. Thank you.
Any further comment, Senator Olson?
Just on that point, Madam Chairman, I think that to go ahead and harness somebody that has started the right direction as a first-class city with their tax structure in place, that is funding their schools, and not to continue on that process, I think is a discouragement to them as well as to the people that are looking at them, and certainly there doesn't appear to be any incentive for other communities to follow the pattern that St. Mary's has done.
Thank you. Mindy?
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Hockman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Wilson?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
3A, 5A.
And so Commerce 13 has failed to be adopted. Senator Wilken?
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could take a couple of minutes and direct our attention to Section 55, which is the Rail Belt Energy Fund, I'd like to talk a little bit about that and give you my impression on what we're doing. Obviously, we're spending $72 million of this fund that I've heard so much about in my 10 years here. The good side is we may get rid of it. The bad side is we sat down and divvied up this amount to a group of players that doesn't include all the players. We have what amounts to one producer, two customers, all requirements customers, and some other, while minor, still important power consumers across the state. So it's certainly not an inclusive deal. But we should ask, well, people say, well, you want GBA to get a piece of this. And I say, no, I don't. That's not the issue here at all. We should look what we're getting with this $72 million. Obviously, some of the smaller ones, Copper Valley, are going to pay off some debt. That's minor. But what we're really getting is an attempt, an ill-fated attempt to fire up the Healy Clean Coal Plant. What we're going to have, with some $30 million in an attempt to fire this plant, if Homer Electric can fire it, they'll have a plant that puts power on the bus at the most expensive power on the intertie. Why is that? Because they're trying to take TRW, slagging combustor technology that has failed in the past, almost killed a man in the 90-day test, and try to make that work. It's not going to work. TRW has shut down its business division. That is serial number one. There are no others. There are no parts. It is not supported by the manufacturer. But someone has said you can pour money at this and have a plant that has the most expensive power on the intertie, and even worse than that, we're going to build a plant that doesn't have a power sales agreement. They'll plug the cord in and not have anyone to sell it to. You know who's going to pick up that? It's going to be shoved down our throat, up and down the intertie, to pay for that expensive power so that plant can spin. We've invested $300 million in that plant. It doesn't work, and it won't work. But with the steel, we're going to throw good money after bad. That deserves the full discussion and the full light of day. That's what we're getting. What we're passing up is the opportunity to take that plant, put it back into the Joint Action Agency with all the producers, that they can then go in and retrofit that to put conventional technology into the plant, and they're ready to do that, put it into the rate base, and they'll have cheap power to put on the bus to go up and down the intertie. We're losing the opportunity for Golden Valley to put in $12.5 million of their own money to match other money so that they can participate. This is a bad deal, and the silence tonight has been deafening around this table. But, Madam Chair, I would suggest that while we may be quiet on this side, I think on the other side there's a battle brewing, and I would hope people would step back and see what's best, not for a certain group of people that are able to put deals together, but the entire Rail Belt Energy and what we can do to spend that money to put all the producers' efforts and their assets so that we have the cheapest power available, not just for Fairbanks, but all the way from Homer to Fairbanks for all of us. So with that, I don't have any amendments, but I feel we'll have some on the other side, and I would just hope people would slow down, make sure that we're doing the right thing. But this bill as it sits is not the right thing for the Rail Belt Energy Fund, nor is it the right thing for the Rail Belt users in throughout the whole Rail Belt. And thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Brief Ease. Senator Wilken. Just in response to Senator Wilken, I do want to say that it's my understanding that all players were contacted and asked to come to the table on this, and some chose not to. And we have 68% of the Rail Belt consumers included in this appropriation, and that one chose not to participate in an equitable way is certainly discussion that they can handle with them, between them, among themselves. Are there any other? We're not having any more amendments, by the way. Yes.
Thought we did.
I thought we did too. I think you did. Okay.
Are you sure we did?
Yeah, I think so. Senator Wilken.
Madam Chair, could I just observe that Ginger has been really cranky the last few days? And I'm really happy that this is pretty much all over with, so she returns to her normal bubbly self.
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
And brings that big smile back to the fifth floor, because you know, the rest of us are really tired of smiling in her place.
So. And I think that's a good suggestion.
And we thank her for all of her hard work. This is not an easy job.
Yeah, and I thank all the offices, because Ginger commented how easy it had been to work with all the offices and getting the correct information in the right order and having things flow well. And I appreciate all of you sitting through this and struggling with your amendments and having things and the disappointments and the joys and all those things that go along with the amendment process. We're a long way from finished, but I thank all of you for your hard work, and certainly the staff and all the people from finance and legal and the drafters. And Senator Wilken, I have a motion.
Madam Chair, move to report CS for Senate Bill 231 Finance Version L as amended from Committee of Individual Recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there objection? CS for Senate Bill 231 moves from committee with individual recommendations and multiple fiscal notes. We get to do this again in the morning with bills, so we'll see you then at 9 a.m. We're adjourned. Just in response to Senator Wilken, I do want to say that it's my understanding that all players were contacted and asked to come to the table on this, and some chose not to. And we have 68% of the Rail Belt consumers included in this appropriation, and that one chose not to participate in an equitable way is certainly discussion that they can handle with them, between them, among themselves. Are there any other? We're not having any more amendments, by the way. Yes.
Thought we did.
I thought we did too. I think you did. Okay.
Are you sure we did?
Yeah, I think so. Senator Wilken.
Madam Chair, could I just observe that Ginger has been really cranky the last few days? And I'm really happy that this is pretty much all over with, so she returns to her normal bubbly self.
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
And brings that big smile back to the fifth floor, because you know, the rest of us are really tired of smiling in her place.
So. And I think that's a good suggestion.
And we thank her for all of her hard work. This is not an easy job.
Yeah, and I thank all the offices, because Ginger commented how easy it had been to work with all the offices and getting the correct information in the right order and having things flow well. And I appreciate all of you sitting through this and struggling with your amendments and having things and the disappointments and the joys and all those things that go along with the amendment process. We're a long way from finished, but I thank all of you for your hard work, and certainly the staff and all the people from finance and legal and the drafters. And Senator Wilken, I have a motion.
Madam Chair, move to report CS for Senate Bill 231, Finance Version L, as amended from Committee of Individual Recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there objection? CS for Senate Bill 231 moves from committee with individual recommendations and multiple fiscal notes. We get to do this again in the morning with bills, so we'll see you then at 9 a.m. We're adjourned.